Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Volume 11. I'm João Vilela, and today I have a very special guest named Tomo Fujita, a great guitarist from Japan, currently living in the US for a while actually. And he's a great guitar player and very well known as well as a great guitar teacher. And when I say great, you guys, if you don't know him yet, you're gonna know what I mean throughout this podcast. We're gonna get some definitely great insights from him to learn more about the world of guitar, the world of music. And Tomo, it's a great honor having you here. Thank you for scheduling this time for us. And I wanna get started by asking you a few things in terms of your history, like not necessarily how you started, but what made you get to the place that you got today, because you've been at the US for over 30 years teaching.
Right.
Right. So that is no yeah. small feat. How did you end up there? And then you can say whatever you think is relevant to tell us that story.
Sure. I think the reason I'm here in the US, because first I came here as a student at the Berkeley. So then I stayed, you know, and I did a pretty good job playing many shows, like, you know, singer showcase, so many recital. And maybe second year, I already play with a lot of faculties, professional musicians wow. you know, around the Boston. So by the time when I graduated, a lot of people started asking me, are you going to teach at the Berkeley or are you going to do something? You know, so, and that's when I've tried to figure it out. I should play more or I should teach, but then ended up I teach more and, you know, touring Japan, doing something, New York or a lot of different places. Yeah, so that's how it happened, yeah.
That is so great. Why do you think Berkeley is Berkeley? What made Berkeley Berkeley? What led you to Berkeley and why does it have the fame that it has nowadays?
Yeah. So before Berkeley, I went to regular university and studied Russian.
Whoa.
Just because when I was 17, I gave up my guitar playing. Basically, when I was 17, I thought guitar is not great pursuit as a career.
Yeah,
it's almost
yeah.
like I thought this is, you know, a lot of people say this is more, you know, you should do hobby. And then I kind of believe what we were saying. So I decided to go to regular college so that I get to pay really well after the college. Then I can play guitar as a hobby. So, yeah. And then I went to, so I got into university and studying Russian, you know, many days a week. And then I was very frustrated because learning language is very difficult. It's time consuming. And
if you don't mind me interrupting for a second, why Russian?
Yeah, yeah, just because when I research what language is great to do translation and trade so that I make most money.
Okay, okay. So there are some guys out there for Dostoevsky translations.
Yeah, because I was at least smart about, you know, okay, I'm going to make a lot of money so that I can play guitar as a hobby. That's the idea. But so 1 year I stay there, but then same time I start taking jazz guitar lessons.
Okay.
And I think that was like, you know, kind of a, I don't know why exactly, but I really thought I really want to study jazz because I want to learn like Larry Carlton, more like fusion stuff.
Okay.
And so I did that, but I didn't really expect to become, you know, professional musician. I was just learn. But then 1 year studying Russian, 1 year studying jazz. That's when I was 19, I met, I heard a bass player named Osamu Koichi
okay.
From Kyoto, Japan. And then he just, you know, I heard he just got, you know, scholarship from Berkeley.
Great.
Yeah, so I start following him because small place in Kyoto. You know,
so you're from Kyoto, right?
Kyoto,
and
yeah.
Then,
so
was he some kind of like distant friend or just like a musician?
Yeah,
that
this
you
is like
with?
A friend of a friend, you know, like almost like Kyoto is small place so that I can find out where he lives or he, you know, where I can find. So I found out that he's at the University of Kyoto practicing, you know, upright bass.
Okay.
You know? So I found him. But he really didn't like me because I asked a lot of questions from the beginning, you know. But he gave up because I have so much passion. So I asked so many questions. He gave up. Ended up like he started teaching me how to get scholarship.
Okay. Wow, so
Yeah.
I can't help but ask myself, how do you get scholarship then?
Yeah, so by the time I understood what to do, so I start studying English, and then I start writing essay about going to Berkeley, and then studying jazz guitar 1 year.
Okay.
So now I'm preparing making demo tape, first time ever making demo tape. And funny part is Osamu Koichi, this guy who got a scholarship, he let me use his band.
Wow.
Yeah, his band was horn section, so really, really great band, you know. He backed me up and play a song called "Feel Like Making Love," which is on my YouTube channel. Yeah, so then I got a scholarship.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then everything changed. And after that,
So would you say
scholarship
mainly
was.
because of the demo tape that
Yeah,
you got you
demo
that the
tape.
guys caught an interest on you? Wow, that is so great.
Yeah, so I made a good demo tape that got two songs. One is really funky arrangement to "Feel Like Making Love" and screaming solo and a little bit of jazz fusion.
Okay.
And then one another song called "Old Folks," which is jazz song by solo guitar.
Okay, that's so
So
great.
I got a John Abercrombie Jazz Guitar Award, and I got a scholarship from Berkeley and scholarship from another source. So I got a really good chunk of money, really, full scholarship. And then I all have to do is get the money for living expenses.
Yes.
So then scholarship lasts about 2 years. So exactly until when I was 21, I worked, I studied
Oh, I
more.
see. You could
Yeah.
use that scholarship for up to 2 years. Like its validation was up till then. I
Exactly.
see.
So
So you're
yeah.
finding ways to get money to live there, right?
Yeah. So I save up some money for living expenses, apartment and food and all those stuff. Yeah. Then I went to Boston, 1986, November 1st.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 months, exactly 2 months before Berkeley starts. And that's when where I start, finding apartment and all that stuff. Yeah, that's
Wow.
how. So basically, I want everybody to know I gave up guitar once, but I took a chance second time, and I didn't miss it because already I prepared 1 year studying jazz guitar.
That's
But the
so great.
message I want to say is that don't give up your dream, but you have to prepare
Of course.
ahead.
Of course. You
Yeah.
can't just stand there
So
dreaming, right?
exactly. So what happened was, if I didn't take jazz guitar lesson 1 year ahead of time, then if I heard this story, it didn't work.
You wouldn't be good enough to show your skills and be accepted for a scholarship, right?
Right. So I could send a demo tape, but I don't think I have that skill without 1 year of jazz guitar lesson.
Great, great. And what?
This is when I just start understand how to play bebop phrase,
I see. I
you know,
see.
2-5-1 or those things. But before, I had no idea,
I see.
no idea. But jazz guitar lesson really taught me theory, scale, chords, seventh chord arpeggio, 2-5-1, all that stuff.
Yeah, that sounds
Yeah.
great.
Then when I made a demo tape, I put everything together. So that worked, yeah. So that's why I'm so happy to be at the Berkeley and living in Boston.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you built your own history there as a
Yeah.
student, right?
Thank you. Yeah. I came here as a student, but then I started teaching since 1993. So already 31 years teaching.
Yes.
Long time. Yeah, it's good.
That is
I
so
mean,
great.
teaching 31 years taught me so much because I saw so many students, so many great ones, so many bad habits, many, many, many different kind.
Wow. Can you talk
But
a
then,
little bit about those so we can know what to avoid?
yeah. Well, these days, especially young people, it's in a way, it's a little bit not fortunate to have too many information.
Yes.
So that people use computer and go to YouTube, and always people Google what to play. But we used to do anything who started guitar before 2001, it's good because before CD and using cassette tape, records, then everything kind of limited. But after, 2000, after CD or MP3 or those, everything available, video, and too convenient.
I see.
Okay, so sometimes people learn too quickly about the information. So, for example, bad habit, number one, knowing five position pentatonic scale.
Yeah.
That's dangerous because then almost people think, okay, I got the five position. Now I can play really well. No. That's just fact about the pentatonic scale. Nothing to do with music yet, Yeah, so sometimes like less information. Now I teach one string more than patterns.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't really teach anything vertical these days. I try to teach more horizontal.
Okay.
Just because vertical is easy, because like a pentatonic scale, ton 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 like this, kind of shape like
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
right? And then what happens is once you learn that, you play today, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Ended up, everybody sounds the same for about 3 years.
True, true.
Because the information so quickly, so there's no discovering something new. It's
True.
all already there, and everybody know, everybody plays it, and just stuck.
And there's a different meaning on it if you're the one that goes after it to discover, right? It's very different for you
Yes.
to transcribe a solo, for example, compared to just looking up the
Yes.
tabs, right?
Yes.
And
Just because when you discover you don't know something and you make mistake to do something, but then every mistakes you make become your asset, so and challenging and sometimes exciting, so but if you click minor pentatonic and you go to YouTube channel, somebody showing here's a pentatonic scale like that, then there's no surprise, no discovery, and there's no reason, and then you
There's no
learn that.
process, right, of learning.
That's right. Yeah, almost like you eat food. Wow, tastes great, but I don't know what it is. Like that. Yeah, so almost like I have to teach undo it. I don't have to add anything because everybody already know the information.
True, true,
So
true.
information isn't problem. Like you said, process is the problem. How to learn.
Yeah.
So I have to teach them how to learn and what to learn.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's great.
When
I
to
love it.
learn, right?
Yeah,
Not to get
when to
ahead
learn.
of yourself.
Yeah. So like so like a pent if you learn pentatonic scale, probably best to do is if you learn, minor pentatonic, root flat 3, 4, 5 flat 7, but maybe you wanna learn root flat 3, 4, 5. That's it.
Yep.
Dun, 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 dun. Just simple like that. Or if you learn major pentatonic, before you learn major pentatonic, you have to learn major scale. And you have to know every degree in singing, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And then understand major pentatonic, do, re, mi, sol, la, do, singing like that. So the problem is, I think, people learn A minor pentatonic before C major scale.
Really?
That's a little bit problem, I don't know. Yeah. Well, see, like if you learn by ear, not knowing theory, that's fine because that's already trial, listening, figuring out. You don't understand, but gradually you put piece together. More fun. So yeah, I think everybody learn a little too fast, too much.
That's cool. That's so cool. And
Yeah.
something that I think is interesting, I don't know if you've ever heard that observation before. I think you might, is that like I'm a Westerner, of course, right? And
Yes.
sometimes we look at Asian people, of course, it's a stereotype, but I want to know from you if there's any degree of truth that you guys are so great and virtuoso at like music, at arts, Chinese culture, Korean culture, Japanese culture. Do you agree with that? And if so, why do you think that is?
I think it's very stereotype about just because we were taught by method and then this is the method, and then there's no reason, you have to follow it. So we have a lot of respect to system.
Yes.
You know, because that's how I taught, how we were taught, you know.
The culture itself, right? Just for those that people that might not be aware, I was talking to Tomo before starting the recording. I lived in Japan for 1 year, and I did realize that the culture is much more of a community culture where everyone is thinking of the society. There are the people that came before them, right? Their elders, and then it's very important to respect your elders, to know who came before you, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's actually a great part, you know, respect parents, you know, ancestors, right? Also, everything before. But problem is, if somebody decides this is a system, this is great, and then everybody has to follow because that's the rule. And then, you know, Asian culture is really great at it. That's why everybody kind of follow the, you know, same system or same culture.
Yeah.
That's why the culture is very strong about, you know, food, sense, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. But music, sometimes, especially, you know, electric guitar, learning and teaching, it's a still new thing, you know. Think about early 1950s, that's how they started. When instruments are available, people start playing. There's no really teacher about electric guitar or bending strings or whatever. Yeah. So people along, maybe educator become, you know, guitar teacher, or guitar player become guitar teacher. So everybody kind of figuring out. And even Berkeley, they start a guitar department about 1965, I believe. And then Bill Levitt, you know, he made those method book about 1967, 66, around there, you know. Yeah. And then because he has really good education about reading, charts,
a
little bit classical music. So his method is based on basic guitar, not based on electric guitar.
Yes.
But that's a great, great method anyway. Yeah. So
reading studies for guitar, I think a few of those are his, right?
Yeah. Reading. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's a good bad because that's already old. Little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm glad I came here because now my mind is very open that I can decide what I think is good. Not just because my teacher taught me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of So I think guitar to me guitar is an E instrument to me. It's not C. So a lot of people try to teach guitar in C, and very difficult to do, which we have to do still, you know, regular theory. But guitar is E.
True.
So like any, you know, if you play a song, key of E is really sounds great in the guitar.
Yeah.
And a lot of open strings, and a lot of string goes this way to go higher pitch. But easy to show six string at a time, so then become a shape. That's why basic open chords are very simple, and that's supposed to be really simple. That was designed to play guitar.
Yeah.
But then guitar become popular, everybody playing so many different styles. Then I'm really into educating people, you know, guitar education. Then I realize I think we have to teach single string before you do this.
Yeah.
Because most guitar lessons teach scale like this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, bottom to top, right? Mm-hmm. Vertical.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we learn, you don't know any neighbor notes because you only know that position, right? That's the guitar problem. Just because guitar fretboard, very difficult to see where the C or D or E, you know. But, you know, compared to piano, you can see C, D, E, F, G, because that's how they line up, you know, very, you know, nicely.
Yep.
So if you apply piano music or pianistic teaching to guitar, won't work. Like, for example, try to people teach, you know, piano etude. Doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I teach chromatic scale. Because chromatic scale, similar to C major scale on the keyboard. Everything right next to each other.
You know, oh, I smooth. See. Yep.
But if you play major scale on the guitar, then you do use first, second finger, fourth finger, first, like this, each one the different fingering. So human fingers are not made for guitar. So if you learn position playing that's C major scale, that's very hard to do. And they play chords too. And then most ask question these days, hey Tomo, how you play those funky chords so quickly? Because people think I practice chords. No, I practice chromatic scale. That's why my technique is really good to play chords fast.
Wow. So
Right?
how would you say someone can start learning the chromatic scale with that one like
Yeah,
horizontal thing?
so this is how I teach now. I teach chromatic scale horizontally. Only fourth and third strings.
Okay. So
The
everything
reason
you're gonna
is,
play, you have to play inside
yeah,
those
only
boundaries,
okay. So
right?
like I show you guitar here.
Yeah.
If you're a listener, you can see it. But I'm showing guitar and right now. And then okay, so my finger on the fourth string, a third string. The reason is, this way your thumb is the center of a guitar neck. This is proper way to hold the guitar.
Okay.
Now, I'm not against Jimi Hendrix or Steve Ray Vaughan or John Mayer style, like thumb, wrapping up like that. This is a style, play blues rock. This is a style, basic style. So in other words, you learn this, bending or whatever, you learn this chromatic scale. Now you have two choices. So my method is really, I teach everything. Then I ask students to choose later. I don't choose. Yeah, I don't choose their life. They choose their life, but I give them opportunity. So my job is they don't miss anything. They know exactly what they know and they decide later. That's what John Mayer decided. You know what I mean? So
True.
like this one, this way, you practice slowly going up and down. From here, first fret, ninth fret, like that. So your pinkies reach to 12 frets and going down. And then even this, you have to practice really, really slow. Means like no tempo. First, no tempo.
Okay.
Like that. Right. The reason is you have to work on right hand muting. Right hand palm really touching four, fifth and sixth string.
Okay.
Again, this is a guitarist almost. Yeah. And then your first finger, fourth finger inside really muting first and second string. So already you are learning chromatic scale and two different muting system.
Yes.
So tempo isn't important. So when people ask when should I use metronome, that's not important question right now because you play each one sustain and you don't cut off the notes like that. So the fourth note is even like a little longer. And go to the next one. So this takes a long time,
Okay.
Yeah. Long time means it just, a couple weeks maybe. Maybe like 2, 3 months. But you don't decide. Because what happens is more you spend, you don't expect. Then keep going. All of a sudden, you go over the bump.
Okay, I see.
Yeah. I had a student who's been playing about 8 months. He's a very smart guy. He can play trumpet. He played keyboards before. So he switched to guitar 8 months ago. He already took like, True Fire or a lot of chords. So he's playing fool around pentatonic scale, major scale. And then he took my Skype lesson. First month I did this lesson about, chromatic scale, triads, root 37. Like, I have three things to do. And he did that. Second month, we did the same thing pretty much. So he started getting a little frustrated because he's a smart guy. So I'm getting frustrated. Why? Because I don't feel like
Progressing, right?
like improving,
Yep.
right? No. You don't expect because you are working on it. So when that happens, you feel it, but you can't expect. You can't push. So the third month, end of the second month, third month. He told me, finally I see the direct result.
That's cool.
And I told him, that's when people quit about proper practice routine. That's usually people quit because not fun. Of course, it's not fun because something becomes so great, unbelievable asset of your, education and your parts of it. So it takes time. You can't push it. Okay?
True.
That's why, as a teacher, I'm just so calm. I just wait to happen, So that's my job. Really teach everything slow, everything simple, but then gradually changing it.
I see. I see.
So the first chromatic scale, really slow, even just the fourth string. And here's the important part too. You only can practice about 5 to 15 minutes, maybe top. I tell students usually 10 minutes top about one topic. Because more you do, then too much, then ended up you add something else.
Okay.
So I just don't want to like adding a bad habit. So basically, you want to do carefully 10 minutes each topic. But 2 month or 3 month you have to do.
Okay. So
I really
you
think.
say that 10 minutes so that you don't overwork your mind and the returns
Exactly.
for like I imagine that for every minute that you practice over those 10 minutes are like diminishing returns, right? You're gonna be less and less productive.
So like more you do in a shorter period of time, you start changing it
Okay.
because your mind is going faster.
Okay.
Expectation. So I tell students, don't have it. Kind of funny, but try not have expectation. But you know exactly how you study, and just trust me and do that.
Yeah. And that's where the Japanese culture would be,
Exactly. That's exactly.
right?
Almost like a karate kid's like wax on, wax off kind of deal. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
yeah, yeah.
Because, that's like a mentality. But again, this is not all Japanese people. Some Japanese people are very lazy. You know what I mean? So this is like kind of typical Japanese people taught this way. Kind of hard work. But not everybody.
Yeah. What I mean is like an American or a Brazilian, a European student would probably be like, come on, dude, or maybe not even tell you that, but think, should I really do what he's telling me? It seems like it's not gonna work.
So like American culture, great part is respect everybody's opinion. But we respect too much opinion on the kids. So kids sometimes, make a decision their own little too fast. So that's when, those mind comes like, should I do this? It's kind of boring. I don't think this works. Maybe there's another way to do it, like that. And sometimes, yes, other way to do it. But this case, right? I taught 31 years at the Berkeley. I saw thousands of students. Probably not, you don't want to argue.
It's probably
I
not the
don't
best time
want
to
to argue.
question the
Don't
authority,
take my
right?
lesson. Right. Exactly. You're wasting my time, boy. And
And
also, I said,
I think that's so funny because kind of like what you're saying, there are moments for you to like break the authorities because if you want to be creative, if it's like what you truly believe, it's a passion, a creativity direction you want to go, then yeah, you're an artist. You're supposed to not follow the rules. But if you want
But
to be
yeah, that's
proficient,
yeah.
right, then
But here's the thing, sometimes from the beginning, not follow the rule, sometimes can make it, but not everybody. That's why my job as an educator, I give all the opportunity to everybody, then they choose their own later. That's the idea.
And
Kind of fun.
have you had like your guitar phases while you were learning guitar? Like you had your because you play so many different genres really well. Like you were saying, jazz, funk,
Not so
and rock
many
and
though.
blues.
I only play, like a fusion, like a jazz, blues, little bit rock, little bit country, but not everything.
Funk.
I mean, I'm not good at it, heavy metal or, shred like that,
No, but even the ones
because.
that you said you play, I still think that's a lot. If you can play like four genres, I
Sure.
think four is a lot,
See,
you know?
okay. The reason I can play all of these just because. Number one, I have really good fingerings. I have really good picking because chromatic scale or rhythmic, etudes I do. And then I know triads all over the neck. I know arpeggios. Well, these are information, but information doesn't mean information with good skill. So how I teach triads to fix the problem means, like, if you go side by side, lower string, then round one make squeaky noise. Right. So I teach them, play them, mute by right hand, lift up a little bit to go to next one. So almost like you don't have any noise.
I see.
So I use a triads to reduce finger noise. See, that's other topic that I teach in my class or my teaching.
So because you have the basics really well done, like you're gonna use an arpeggio regardless if it's blues,
Yeah,
regardless if it's jazz,
arpeggio is
right?
really easy. Yeah, arpeggio is easy because once you learn triads, adding a seventh becomes seventh arpeggio. Then you learn a same triad inversion in a different position. So that means even arpeggio, you can use different fingerings. That's why if you go to the internet, if you go to YouTube, if you see seventh chord arpeggio tab, that's very dangerous.
You're
Because
skipping
if you
so
see
many
it,
steps, right, that you should have had before.
yeah, if you see already, run through entire, patterns, but that's only one pattern. There's other patterns, other fingerings, but people don't teach. So
True.
that's why every student I teach at Berkeley, I have to teach them arpeggios, very musical way to do it.
I see. And speaking of
Yeah.
like a musical way of teaching people, you're known for having an emotional expression teaching as well, in the sense that it's something that is kind of not said of enough, in my opinion, of teachers that will teach their students how to express themselves. Because that made me
Yes.
really
So
curious. How
yeah.
do you teach
Okay.
expression?
So number one, right? I t first thing lesson, first lesson, first time with me is always I talk about how to set amplifier and how to set the guitar. So now the amplifier, my practice amplifier called Fender Music Master Bass Amp. It says bass amp, but really guitar amp, and only volume and tone. This means volume only increase the loudness. Tone means only go brighter or darker. So it means bass, middle, tone, treble set inside of amplifier. So you can't change anything. So I learned from the amp because very even.
Yeah, very flat,
So when
right?
I use Fender Hot Rod, kind of popular amp, that amp has too much bass. The reason is that way anybody plays hard and sounds good and feel good because bass support you.
Yeah, true.
Bass really support you so you can pick hard, but you don't feel like you're picking hard, right? And treble is kind of rounder, so you're not spiky, right? Glassy. So at the Berkeley, first thing I said, okay, no reverb. This means a lot of people use reverb, but I want you to feel like you are born in late 50s. There's no reverb. So in other words, if you know reverb, then what happens? You miss reverb. And the concept is, you believe there's no exist reverb, then there's no problem. Do you understand? That's my concept. I teach like that. But no reverb. But when you play song, you can have a reverb as a choice. So I'm not saying reverb is bad or shouldn't use, but when you practice, you shouldn't have, because late 50s, nobody had a reverb. That's why everybody has a good rhythm,
True.
So like that, I go, okay, now guitar has a tone and a volume. Tone has to go all the way up. That way you can hear everything, you can mute everything. Learn muting. Now volume shouldn't go 10. So I always ask, leave it about 8. They make your amp loud enough to feel a little uncomfortable to play. Uncomfortable means a little bit difficult to play. Because
Difficult in the sense of loud or
loud,
low.
yeah.
Okay.
Loud, because, for example, human voice, we are talking and we talk with normal volume. Maybe sometime we excited, gets a little louder.
Okay.
if you're really mad, you can scream at me. Then I go like, whoa, you know, like surprised, because loudness, it's really loud.
It's aggressive, right?
Yes, aggressive, exactly. Like that, you have to have a guitar volume like that. In other words, if you hit hard, almost you can't handle it. It's so loud.
I see.
Makes you nervous.
I see.
Okay? Then if you play normal, and everything good. And you can play soft. You can play soft. So almost like humans' emotion built in the guitar and the amp.
Okay.
But in order to do that, you have to understand how to set. So bottom line, amp has a volume, guitar has a volume, and picking has a volume.
Yeah.
This is all people don't know. Picking volume.
A lot of volume, right? That's the main one that changes.
So what happens is a lot of people set guitar volume 10 and then set amp volume comfortable, then pick hard. And hard, it's a little bit too much. Then they turn down the tone, add more bass, and add more reverb. So it means you are eating some food, you are adding more sugar to your food. Of course, tastes kind of cool. More cream, more butter.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened is not so much salt, not so much butter. The ingredient has to be really good, right?
Yeah.
Meat or vegetable, so good. That's why guitar and, you know, amp volume, those combinations. So that's why first 5-10 minutes I talk about this and make them really understand.
That is so cool.
Cool? Yeah. So that's why my students who study with me, they have a little different approach.
Yeah. And you're naturally teaching them dynamics, right?
Yes,
I do. You don't have to explain them what dynamics is. You just say...
because I said like that.
Yeah, you already said it like that. So they're going to be like, hey, teacher, can I turn down a little bit the volume? It's annoying me. And then you're going to be there. Yeah, sure. Turn it down on your hand, right? On your pick.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I said a little bit uncomfortable. But then, you know, but of course, when they play rhythm guitar, I said, turn down a little bit. But then everything else. And then a lot of people sometimes play like this, especially rock people, you know, play a little bit, and then after you play, people go like this.
Yeah.
You know, volume down.
Yeah.
I said, don't touch the volume. Just set around 8. Don't touch. Do everything. Because if you're a pianist, do you change the volume? If you're a drummer, do you change the volume?
That's
you're
true. Singer,
no, you don't. Because the guitar player has too many knobs.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. So you have to set kind of loud enough to play. But then don't touch. Then your touch becomes so variable.
Yeah. That is so cool.
Yeah. Then I teach chromatic scale with that loud volume. Then they start hear all finger noise, pick noise, you know, everything exposed.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I think it's so cool. And that's where the 30 plus, the more than 3 decades of teaching shows why you're a good teacher, because you know how to, you know what's the best context of every single exercise, how every single phase of teaching, of learning should go. Oh, when you learn this, put it in these settings because you're supposed to pay attention at this. When you learn that, pay attention at that because you're supposed. And I think that's
so like a first week, I teach chromatic scale really slowly, and then, you know, same time I introduce a little bit triads. Then major scale, so horizontally like that.
Yeah.
I teach this way, so the students already know that it's, you know, vertical, but it's teach horizontal, right?
Yeah.
And then usually third or fourth week I do technique, means like, you know, some, I have a very specific, you know, alternate picking exercise, and then I teach them those patterns, and I have, you know, like almost muting exercise, left hand muting exercise. Very technical, and I teach these. Then I teach this how to organize. So, for example, alternate picking exercise, after they learn, I set the metronome, you know, 60 backbeat, kind of fast. Then next one, 80, then 90, going fast. This is hard. Going fast, then we play softer.
Yeah.
Most people play difficult piece or you know faster tempo, then it gets a little louder.
True.
So we practice very soft. So that's when kick in a lot of dynamics to practice.
True, true.
Yeah, then when you do, you just don't need any reverb or anything extra because that's too much. But it's interesting, about fourth, fifth week, then I teach like a performance. So I teach like song, then I use reverb. But this is very funny too. I use reverb, but reverb become measurement of dynamics. Do you understand that means? Kind of hard.
The reverb becomes a measurement of dynamics?
Yeah. Yep.
I want to know what you mean. So
I know, right. Because people don't teach like that.
Man, we're getting like, into all the guitar secrets. Like it, this is that.
Not exist, you know, teaching style. So here, right? Watch, listen to this. So this is a Music Master Bass amp, really bright. Really bright because it just, you know, give out everything clean. Okay, now, I have a reverb on here, right? Listen to this. You hear that reverb?
Yeah.
Okay, so I teach like this. So reverb on, and if I pick hard, reverb. That. Then watch here. Pick softer to not have a reverb. Yeah. So sometimes I teach this style. So like I pick one note really a lot reverb and other notes pick softer. It's so almost less reverb.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so cool.
Like that.
That is so great.
Yeah, so that's the idea, yeah. So sometimes, you know, I teach using reverb and then use reverb by picking nuance.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, for example, when people learn blues and, you know, play rhythm guitar and, like, you know, something simple, and always people play 1-1-4-4 instead of 1-4-1-1.
True.
Or 1-1. Yeah. Usually blues is 1-4-1-1. That's what we call quick four, you know, one chord, four chord. Or 1-1-1-1, and then 4-4-1-1, 5-4-1-5, usually, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people do 1-1-4-4 just because people don't really count or understand where is a, you know, chord changes. They play, a lot of people play by feeling because this nature of a style.
Yeah.
People play with feeling. So once you start, you know, counting, you know, really realize how long you play. By the time you feel, then change. That's the third chord. So the third measure, a lot of people change to four.
That's funny. I wonder why.
That all people do. That means that person not really study blues yet. They understand the blues form mechanically, but then they didn't really study a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I so, you know, you really have to do, if you like a blues, you have to do same thing. That's where I teach root third or seven. Means like, this is like my method, like, you know, play blues, three notes. So from sixth string, root, seven third. So play like that,
yeah.
Root, seven third.
Yeah.
And then from fifth string, root third or seven. Like
yep.
that.
Yep.
So this is like everybody has to do, my student. This is actually, I taught this John Mayer a lot, like the clean technique.
Yeah.
So the important part is to see, your hand must go, you know, from top to bottom, all the way, all the string.
Yeah. With so no means, noise, right?
No noise, yeah. Then good clean tone. Then you have to get rid of all the noises by left hand. So when you go up, you have to use your first finger to mute, like that. And then E flat, I use a little bit my thumb, but like that. It's hard to do. Downstroke, upstroke, muted.
Yeah.
But like this, you have to practice every day for a while. Then, you know, you become you know, more second nature. Something like that.
That is great.
Fun.
You talked about John Mayer, and I feel like we could wrap the interview with one last question regarding
Oh,
to
yeah.
him. Because he was your most notable student, so what was like teaching him? At what phase of his life, of his career, did he come have lessons to
He
him?
was
And what was he like a student, right?
just turned 19, and before he took my private lesson, he saw me. I think he attended guitar session 1 week, somewhere in the summer. That's where he saw me, because I gave funk guitar clinic where I play all slap guitar, you know. So that's why he assigned my lesson as his, you know, first teacher. And that was 1998, 9 a.m. And then as a records, he never missed any lesson. And I thought he was unique, that he has a lot good opinion about, you know, guitar playing and then, you know, what to do. And I can see he's very smart, and then he can really play Stevie Ray Vaughan style in a blues solo. But it's a little bit too much Stevie Ray Vaughan kind of heavy picking technique, you know. And then he back then he said, according to him, he was really interested in play a little more jazzier, like a Robin Ford kind of deal, you know. So then I decide to teach him a little bit more like foundation. Like, so I taught him a little bit method book, few pages to correct muting technique, play something simple. And I did all that, you know, muting technique, root 37, all that triad stuff, you know, especially root 37. And then I taught him Charlie Christian solo, maybe for alternate picking. So basically I made him realize technique could be a little better to improve, you know. Back then, okay, the funny story is that then he want to be like a number one guitar player kind of deal, like everybody say, you know. But then about the midterm, he changed his mind a little bit, like means like he saw so many great guitar students and teacher too, you know. So he felt that's not ideal to become number one. Yeah, I agree, because always somebody doing great, so you don't have to be number one, but you can be only one, something, you know, only, that's what I'm trying, only one,
You can
right?
be unique, right? In that sense.
Unique, yeah, exactly. Then he was really, you know, emphasizing, like, you know, he said he's really interesting more writing songs, like stay up late night and he write a song. And then he thinks writing songs, he can be more accomplished, you know, than maybe better, you know, compared to guitar. But then he mentioned so many classes occupying time, then he's not sure what's important. So I thought about how to do it, this. But he has talent about writing song. And he understood my method. So I thought he could write song now. Then when he succeed, he can continue to study what we left off.
That is so cool.
That was my plan. Do you understand? So I taught him all the details, like what to do. Like a lot of details, like you know, those are technique. Then he did. So in other words, he so I recommended him to quit the college immediately. Yeah, just because you have to write a song when it's hot, you know. So you do that. Then he's American student, so he can come back anytime. Then 2001, I was in a studio in New York City making my, you know, English version of my best-selling instructional DVD. Back then, the video, DVD, yeah. And then I met him on the studio. He said he just got signed.
Wow, that is so cool.
Right. So means really 1999 to 2001, almost he did 3 years really work on writing. Then 2004, I think he came back to Berkeley for, I forgot, around there. Yeah. Then he talked about a little bit about effect and all that stuff we talked. Yeah. And then and I thought he's doing more pop stuff, but then I think he was kind of a shedding blues stuff. You know, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a great part of John is he remember how to practice clean tone with a lot treble, less bass, no reverb, those kind of thing. That's why his touch is good.
Yeah. And
You know? Yeah.
one of the
Yeah.
things that I think is greatest about him, and you might agree with him, but with
Yeah.
me, is that he is so well respected by many guitar greats, by many guitar players, by many musicians, but he's also well respected by people that don't have never played an instrument, by people that don't study music, by the mainstream, by
Yeah.
by radio and TV. And so it's funny how the same guy can speak to so many different people so well, right? And
Yeah,
that is
amazing.
like
Exactly.
impressive, to be honest. I think that is
Yeah, that's really great. Yeah. I mean, you know, Steve Ray Vaughan did open up blues community to, you know, pop and rock, you know. Then John did more than that, you know. So that was a great. I mean, this is great inspiration to younger people, older people, everybody, you
Yeah,
know. Yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
And
But also I think, you know, when he succeeds songwriting, he back to practice guitar proper way. And I'm really happy. You know, he really thanked me about that many times because every time he sent me a guitar, always he said, "This is really nothing. I learned so much from you," kind of deal. You know, so which is great to hear.
That's so cool.
That's cool, yeah.
That is so cool. Making things limited, it definitely helps in many ways for
Yeah,
you to have
limited. Yeah,
the process,
me
right?
and John we used to talk about the limitations. Really great thing because limitation makes new things. I give you an example. He tried to do my slap guitar, but somehow he couldn't figure it out, that triplet stuff, you know. Especially like, you know, I play triplet stuff like. Like that. Then he developed that technique his own way. And then he said that become neon. So here's the important part. Neon was born just because he could not imitate Tomo's slap. That's what he told me. Yeah. I mean,
That
he told my kids that's Tomo song, you know. So
is so.
that's because of me, he couldn't imitate. That's why that song born.
We thank you very much, Tomo,
Yeah,
for that
yeah.
indirect presence you gave everybody, right?
Yeah, so you see, limitation isn't bad. Why B.B. King is so amazing? Because of limitation. He couldn't play jazz. He can't, you know, he cannot
Play
play
fast,
many
right?
chords. He knows a few chords that are very important. That's why he plays around the chords. He makes, you know, guitar sing. And then he figured out like, you know, slide guitar sounds, you know, shake his hand. And he used a lot of bending because he heard so many slide guitar in his life. Yeah, so like, but then I heard end of his life, Bieber was always, you know, looking at the computer, try to learn more things, the guitar. Yeah,
That's a funny
it's really
scene to
true.
imagine, right?
Yeah, but I think his limitation was
This was the best part.
really, that's why I teach people to make people listen B.B. King, not so many other blues player.
I see.
Because that's really essence. Because B.B. King's only two, three notes, only top three strings. Never ever goes to six strings, the first string run, you know? So I think that's really important. And the same thing, John does the same thing, melody. Only a few notes, you know.
Tomo, thank you
I think that's
so
cool,
very
right?
much for the podcast, for the interview.
Yeah.
It was an honor having you. And please, if you want to leave a message at the very end, if you want to tell people where to find you in your social media and buy your courses where people can have lessons with you, please do that.
Yeah. It's the best one, you know, probably tomojustfunky.com. That's really easy to find me. Or I'm active on the Instagram, you know, tomojustfunky, and Tomo Fujita Music is my YouTube. So, you know, you can follow those. Yeah.
Okay, that's so great. So, again, thank you for the interview. It was a blast having you here.
Welcome. Thank you.
And you guys can also follow me at Vilela Volume 11. I'll leave all the links, mine and Tomo's, at the description. Please follow the YouTube channel, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.